have to be the cornerstone in our life, Lord. Lord, it's so vital. Just as buildings are being made, and that cornerstone's got to be set. God, we know that you're that vital part in our life, that our life has to be set on you as the cornerstone. So, Lord, I pray that this morning, Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't have that hope that's built on you, God, I pray that you would just tear down those walls. Lord, you would just touch their heart. God, you just make yourself known this morning, Lord, as you speak through Brother Bill. Lord, as we've sung your praises, God, I just pray that you be lifted up. Lord, that you just fill this place today, Lord, that we would experience you and leave this place changed, Lord, ready to do your will. I love you, Lord, and I thank you for who you are. We bless your name. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Amen. Amen. We've been, over these last couple of weeks, speaking into to spiritual warfare. Anybody feel like you've been in a battle this week? Amen. Feel like you've been in a battle this morning even today, right? Man, it's constant. And so last week, we were talking about our enemy, identifying who the enemy is. Understand the enemy is not your spouse. It's not that next door neighbor. It's not that coworker. It's not your teenage children. It's the devil. The devil is alive and well. Can I get a witness? Amen. And he is up early in the mornings waiting on us to attack, he and his demons. And he is powerful. But praise God, we have a God who's more powerful. Amen. Who gives us the victory. And we're going to get there. We're working toward that victory. This morning, if you'll find your place with me in Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to speak into the armor that God provides for us. When we think about warfare, we think about what it is to battle. One of the first things we think about is our armor. What are we going to put on? How are we going to protect ourselves? In the earliest forms of body armor, even in the medieval times, were made with a variety of materials, including leather and chainmail and wood and, you know, all these different things. And as our weaponry advanced, our armor has to advance as well, right? And so as we, as things and the attacks get more and more sophisticated, our armor has to advance as well. Even today, we have these advanced armor systems that shoots down missiles in the air, right? We have these umbrellas that shoot down missiles that are fired toward us and all these kind of things. So it's very highly technical. I was doing a little research about the body armor and how military armor has advanced through the years and personal tactical armor. One piece that I found was the soldier. It's called the Soldier Scalable Protection System. It's a three-layer system, if you will. First, there is this jacket that you put on, and then it's then there's these plates that you can add to that, and then it's wrapped into another encasement. And it's so it's called the SSP3 system. I was researching these things and trying to find some information maybe that we could relate to and just to show how technical our armor has advanced against the weaponry and all this, and how we could apply that in the spiritual warfare. I got to thinking, man, I'm doing all this research, and I'm thinking, somebody's tracking this. Yeah, somebody's tracking this. And so, you know, some guys show up this morning in black coats. Just know it's me. They've tracked me down, okay? It's kind of scary to think about sometimes. What we do, how we research, and things like that. But listen, it's a must for us to have a defense against the attacks of the devil. But better than this SSPS3 system that the military has come up with, God's given us, I'm going to call it a GPS5. It's God's protection system. And he gives us five things here in Scripture that help us then, I know that sounds kind of corny, GPS 5, okay? But it'll help you remember because you're corny too. It's like a dad joke, right? You can't forget them. They get them in your mind and you can't get it out. You know, it doesn't matter how bad you try. But think about it, GPS 5, okay? So let's look at the text this morning and let's find these. We begin in Ephesians chapter 6. Look what it says in verse 11. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the attacks of the devil." And then he describes the fact that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood or against principalities, against powers, but against the rulers of darkness in this age and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So he tells us twice, get ready, put on the whole armor of God. And then he says here in verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so there's five layers of protection here, if you will. Now, think about this. When Paul is writing this, get the context here. When Paul is writing this, Paul is in a Roman prison. He's bound in chains. He's in a Roman prison. And so as he's writing, he's looking around. And in the context of what he's writing, he looks and he sees this Roman soldier standing guard over him. And he thinks, you know what? This guy knows what it is to battle. And if we're going to do spiritual warfare, then we need to know what it is to battle. And as I look at this Roman soldier, he has this armor on. And Paul draws a word picture from this soldier. And he makes spiritual application as he looks at this soldier. Now, you and I, it's a little foreign to us. We live in a place, we don't necessarily always see soldiers in military gear around us, right? If we go into a place and it's overrun with military security and all, we kind of look around and go, okay, what's going on here? This is weird, right? I remember a couple of years ago, we went with our family up to New York, and we were going to be there for the tree lighting there at Rockefeller Center. And so we got down there, and man, there was so much security. Like, we couldn't even get close to the tree. Like, we were, like, looking between the buildings, like, several blocks away. And there, we were having to look over these armored vehicles and all of these military guys and police and all this tactical gear. And I thought, well, 'tis the season to be jolly, right? I mean, man, this is really Christmas, right? To think about that. It was kind of uneasy. It was kind of weird to see that. And so it's not necessarily something that we look at or deal with every day. It's not natural in our language. So let's kind of think through this morning. We're going to have to put on our thinking caps, if you will. First of all, he says, take up. Take up this armor. Put on this armor. It's written in the imperative. It's a command. It's not something that God suggests for us to do. This is a command that God tells us to do. There's a sense of urgency here. It calls for decisive action. If you're going to survive, this is a must. Understand that this morning. How am I going to survive this? God, how am I going to make it through this? Here's what you have to do to survive. You have to put on the whole armor of God. And the first piece of armor that he tells us to put on is the belt of truth. He says, buckle up with the truth. It says there in verse 14, having girded your waist with truth. Now, we see this belt when God gave instructions to Moses for the children of Israel when they were going to eat the first Passover meal over in Exodus chapter 12 in verse 11. It says this, and thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, he says, and your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. He says there's going to be this death angel that's going to pass over. He gave them instructions on how to sacrifice the lamb and to put the blood over the doorpost. And he says, after this happens, man, the Egyptians, they're going to tell you to get out of here. And you need to be ready to go. When they say go, you need to be already on your mark and get ready, set, and to go. And he says to put this belt on, to put this belt on around you so that you can be ready to go. This is a kind of a thick leather apron type belt that goes around your waist. It protected the abdominal area and all the other armor pieces would connect to that. It would kind of hold everything in place. Truth is important. The belt of truth is essential to all the rest of our armor. In Isaiah 11, in verse 5, it says this, "Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist." You see, truth is not just mere information. Truth is inward. It's to be true to oneself. Don't deceive yourself. Oftentimes in our conversations, we're like, oh, well, you know, I'm in this situation and this is kind of what's going to happen. So I'm doing this. And I look sometimes at people and I go, you're fooling yourself. Lying to yourself is the worst lie in the world. You need to be honest. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be truthful with ourselves. We need to be truthful with one another. Truth is essential. It means outward truth as well, that we be truthful with one another. It's a characteristic that we take on to be a trustworthy or truthful type person. And it's powerful. True, the Bible says that true will dispel the lies, right? Light dispels the darkness. If we're going to be in spiritual warfare, the devil is a liar and he's the father of all lies. How do we counterattack lies? With the truth. The truth then becomes essential. Listen, if your faith isn't true, then it's not going to be any good to you. If your helmet of salvation, if that salvation is not true, then you don't really have salvation. You see, truth is an element that holds all of these other pieces of our armor together. In Luke, Jesus said, we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. So everything that we do in our relationship with Christ and in our relationship with one another should be based on the truth. One of the things that's always kind of amusing to me, especially when we get into the political season, you hear the candidates and they'll make their speeches, right? And what happens right after they make their speeches? You turn on the TV and there's somebody there that's doing what? Fact-checking, right? They fact-check the candidate. Listen to what the candidate says, but don't believe anything he says. Wait until the fact-checkers check him, and then they can tell you what the truth is. My question is this. Who's fact-checking the fact-checkers, right? It's the world we live in, you know? It depends on who your fact-checker is as to whether or not what the truth is. Well, listen, I'm trying to tell you this morning, there is one truth in Jesus Christ, and you better make sure that everything you believe and everything that you have is based on the truth of Christ and Christ alone. Because the father of lies wants you to believe all this other stuff out here in the world. And so our first defense against the attacks of Satan is to know the truth. Satan will tell you, you're sorry. You're no good. You're a sinner. God doesn't love you. You're not good enough for God. You shouldn't. And Jesus says, I love you. God says that I loved you and I created you with a purpose and a plan. He said, I have a purpose and a plan for you, a plan for good, a plan to prosper you. Amen? And so don't believe the lies of the devil. Believe the truth of God. to gird yourself with this truth. And so, first of all, he says, buckle up with the truth. Second of all, he says, bulk up with the breastplate of righteousness. He says in verse 14, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this is kind of equivalent to a bulletproof vest. He says to put it on. It's the sense of sinking into the garment, to invest with the clothing. You and the clothing become one. You ever heard the old saying, the clothes make a man? Well, if you're dressed in with the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this breastplate of righteousness, again, it's made out of leather and metal covering, and it protects the chest area. The truth protects the abdominal area. This protects the chest area. This is where the vital organs are, like your heart. And oftentimes the breastplate would be marked. It would have markings on it that would distinguish what battalion you belong to, what army you were in, whose leadership you were following. So when we put on the breastplate, it's not just any breastplate. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. It identifies us, who our commander is. The King of Righteousness. We just sung about that, right? It means that we're under the authority and under the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this breastplate, it helps to guard our hearts from unrighteousness. It helps to guard our affections and our emotions. You do realize that your emotions will lie to you, right? That's why we need the breastplate of righteousness connected to the belt of truth so that we can protect our emotions. It means to have a right heart. It means to do right. Isn't it amazing how complicated the devil tries to make life? I hear Christians ask me this often. Preacher, can I go here and still be a Christian? Preacher, can I do this and still be a Christian? Preacher, can I participate over here and still be a Christian? See, we want to get just as close to the line as we can and still be right with God. And my response is this. Is it right? If it's right, just do it, right? And if you have to ask, it's probably not right. Just do right. And if we do right, then we can be right. This righteousness, that means truth towards God. It means to be just. It means to be fair. It means to be honest. It means to be faithful. It's a breastplate. It's in the forefront. It's to be born front and center of all. It's the thing that people see when they see us. I don't know a lot about that guy, but all I know is he's an upstanding guy. He's an upright guy. That guy always tries to do what's right. He's not perfect, but he always wants to do what's right because he has the breastplate of righteousness. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says this, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Everything that we look at in life, everything that we consider in life should be evaluated through the lens of God's righteousness. If it's right with God, then we can know it's going to be right for us as well. Amen? Amen? Y'all still with me? All right? So that's GPS number two. Number three is this, to boot up your feet. He says in verse 15, he says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And again, we're talking about these leather-type sandals. These would be kind of like high tops, okay? These would be kind of like high tops. Sometimes they had spikes on the bottom for traction and that sort of thing. And so it was to have these on your feet so that you could be ready to go, so you could stand and that you could withstand. We need the shoes of the gospel to stand against the attacks of the enemy. And because we have the peace of God in us that comes from the gospel, then we need not fear Satan's attacks. See, Satan wants you to think this morning that God's mad at you. Satan wants us to have this image of God, that God's in heaven and he's looking over the proverbial banner and he's got this bat in his hand, and every time we mess up, he's ready to bop us in the head. Well, that's a lie from the devil. We have a God who wants to give us peace, not to give us misery. We have a God who came and sent his son Jesus to die on a cross. But because at one time we were at enmity, we were at war against God, and he came to die so that we could be at peace with God. And so the gospel is the good news. It's the message of peace. And we have to have this peace with God so that we can be at peace with one another, so that we can defeat the devil. You see, here's where we're at today. And I'm not trying to get political this morning in any way whatsoever, okay? I hate talking about politics in church because y'all listen to politics all week. I got 30 minutes with you to talk about Jesus, okay? So we're going to talk about Jesus rather than politics, right? But this is the world we live in today. This is why we're at war with one another, because we lack the peace of God in us. And we as Christians should bear witness with peace. Listen, Jesus never attacked the Roman government. He never protested the Roman government. Jesus had a ministry of peace. He says, don't take vengeance out on your brother. He says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Listen, there's a day when God's going to take care of all this and everything's going to be made right. Until then, you and I are to walk in peace with him and to walk in peace with one another. We don't have to like the same TV shows. I don't have to like what you had for dinner last night. I don't have to like the way you dress, and you don't have to like the way I dress. And you don't have to like the things that I like to eat. You don't have to like the things that I do. We don't have to have the same political persuasions. But we can all love Jesus and be at peace with one another. Amen. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a gospel of peace. Look at James chapter 4. In the book of James, in the fourth chapter, listen to what he says here beginning in verse 1. You can follow along with me this morning if you want to. He says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasures that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity, is war with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Listen to what he says in verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's the devil who's stirring all this turmoil up. It's the devil that's the enemy. It's the devil who wants us to fight and fuss and go to war against one another. Listen, Satan has declared war. You and I, as ambassadors of Christ, have come to declare peace. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5. Look at this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has what? Reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We were at odds, we were at war, we were at difference with God. How did God make peace with us? He did it himself. He didn't require us. He took it all on himself. The Bible says we're to do everything we can in our own power to be at peace with everybody. God took all the power and made peace with us. And he reconciled us to himself, and he's called us to a ministry of reconciliation.
That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God didn't say, well, you know what? You said this and you said that. You did this and you do that. And forget you. You can't get saved. No. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for all of our sins. Amen? And for all our sins. That is, we've all sinned, plural, right? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are now ambassadors of God. What was God's message? God's message was a message of peace, reconciliation. And now we are ambassadors of reconciliation, of being peacemakers. For He who made Him knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. As God did everything in His power to make us right with Him, we should be those same ambassadors with the gospel of Jesus Christ making us right with one another as well. How do we defeat the devil? The devil declares war. We declare peace. Right? It's an incredibly effective piece of armor. Even though it's a defensive armor, it actually almost becomes a weapon to have the gospel of peace. The most victorious Christian is a witnessing Christian. You show me a Christian who shares their faith, who's leading lost people to Jesus Christ, and I'll show you a Christian who's defeated the devil. Amen? It's our success then is in being witnesses of the peace of Christ. And these shoes, it means to be going forth. When you put your shoes on, you ought to be thinking, man, I'm putting on my shoes. Where am I going? I'm going today to be a witness for Christ. I'm going today to share the gospel with somebody. Amen? It's to boot up your feet. And in GPS 4 is this. Bear up the shield of faith. He says in verse 16, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Again, this faith, I mentioned this earlier, this shield of faith. Oftentimes when we think about a shield, we think about the shield that they would wear on their forearm. It would be strapped to the forearm. They would use that to fend off. And that was more for like up close, personal, face-to-face fighting when somebody had a sword or something at you. But this shield of faith, it would be a large wooden piece. It would maybe be covered in leather. Sometimes that leather would be drenched with water, soaked in water so that it couldn't catch fire, so that when the fiery arrows were shot at it, they would be extinguished, they'd be put out, they wouldn't be able to. And so the soldier would walk behind that shield of faith, and there would be nothing that could get at him. And so it's door-shaped, it's framed, and it's covered. And so they would walk behind them. The faith mentioned here, it's not just a saving faith. This is a living faith. Listen, we come to a point and place in our life where we realize that we're dead in our sins and trespasses. And we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for our sins. That's a faith, a salvation. But then after we are saved, we still have to exercise faith just in our daily walk. Sometimes it takes more faith to live saved than it does to get saved. Right? Listen, I say this all the time. You come to a point and place in your life where you give up all that you understand about yourself to all that you understand about Christ Jesus. Right? And this morning, the only thing you may understand about yourself is, you know what? I've sinned. And because of my sin, I've been separated from God. And all I know about God is that He loved me so much that He sent His Son to die on a cross for my sins. That's all I know. And I don't really understand all of that. But with that understanding, you put your faith in Christ and you're saved. Then as you grow in your relationship with Christ, you begin to grow and you learn more about God. And as you learn to grow more about God, you learn to grow more and know more about yourself. When I got saved, I knew I was a sinner in need of a Savior. After I got saved and I got to grow and know just how holy God was, I realized just how unholy I was. And I've had to exercise more faith after I got saved than when I got saved. Because all I had was just enough faith to get saved. I had just enough understanding to know that I was lost and doomed and damned for hell. But after I got saved, my faith has grown. That door has gotten larger. And to walk in that faith. Listen, faith is a defensive weapon. It protects us from Satan's fiery darts. Satan's always on the offense. He's always shooting. He's always telling lies. He's always putting blasphemous thoughts in our minds. He's always putting hateful thoughts in our minds and about others and doubts and desires and passions and all those kind of things. And listen, you have to quench those things before it turns into a wildfire in your heart and in your mind. And so you have to protect yourself with the shield of faith. Listen, if we don't by faith quench these darts, they'll light a fire within us and we'll disobey God and we'll be doing things and we'll think, why in the world am I even doing this? I don't know how I even got here. You know how you got there? There was a spark that lit a fire in you that you didn't quench with the shield of faith. And so we take this, we bear up the shield of faith. And then the last, to brain up with the helmet of salvation. To take the helmet of salvation, says there in verse 17. The helmet was oftentimes the most ornate, the most expensive, the most costly piece of armor that a soldier would put on. It protected the head. And isn't that really a good word picture for our salvation? Our salvation cost Christ His rich red royal blood. The most expensive thing that God's ever provided for you was not a new Cadillac, wasn't a new house. The most expensive thing that God ever provided for you was your salvation. When Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood for you, He left the splendor of glory and came to this earth. He became poor so that you could become rich. It's the most expensive piece of armor we have is our salvation. And it protects our head. Think about it. The parallel. When Jesus was crucified, He was crucified at a place called what? Golgotha. And Golgotha means the place of the what? Skull. Where does the devil attack us most often? In our minds, right? Man, there's those fiery darts that are always being shot into our minds. Man, things pop into my head sometimes. I'm thinking, why in the world? What made me think of that? Well, it's the devil, man. He's always put those evil thoughts in our minds. And so we put on this helmet of salvation to guard our minds against the attacks of the Satan. Listen, military intelligence exploits the information that it collects and provides guidance and direction to the commanders out in the field so that they can know how to attack the enemy. And when we put on the helmet of salvation, God gives us the mind of Christ. And as we take on the mind of Christ, we're able then to attack and able to defend ourselves against the attacks of the enemy. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 again in verse 1. He says, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me." Just bear with me. We're almost done, okay? "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." I'm worried that you're going to fall for the same things that Eve fell for. That Satan's going to come in and twist God's word in your mind. "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit for which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." He says, "I'm afraid you're going to hear something different that's not of God, and you're going to fall for it." You need the helmet of salvation to know that you know that you know Christ Jesus is the Lord of your life. You don't need anything more than Jesus, and you don't need anything less than Jesus. See, there's a lot of people today, oh, I got saved, but then later I had this experience. Oh, I got saved and then this happened to me. No, when you got saved, God finished it. That was all you needed for salvation. It wasn't Jesus plus anything. It was Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And Paul says, I'm worried. I'm worried that your minds might be polluted some other way. That this protection that God puts on our head, our salvation. Jesus said, hey, listen, don't worry about it. He said, not a hair of your head will even fall. Now, that's a little less protection for some of us than others. But nevertheless, it's still protected, right? We need to be taught by Him. We need to have the mind of Christ so that we can know and understand the attacks of the devil. Oh, this is of the devil. I know this. Because the Word of God says, and we've had our minds trained in that. Okay? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. He says, in the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men. He says, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in the warfare entangles himself with affairs of life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So he's telling us, don't let your mind get on the things of this world. Keep your mind on the things of Christ. It's like the old song that we sing, Jack. I look full in your wonderful face, that the things of this world may grow strangely, strangely dim. Man, when I'm in right relationship with God, when I know that I've been saved, when I know that I know that I know that I've been saved, there's things in this life I just look at and go, how about that? Has nothing to do with my eternal salvation. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. I'm a sports nut. I love sports. I have some favorite teams. Sometimes my teams do well. Sometimes my teams don't. Sometimes Rhonda will just please me and sit on the couch and watch a ball game with me. And my team will be doing really good. And sometimes Rhonda gets up off the couch and says, I'm tired of this. I'm going to bed. And all of a sudden something happens. And all of a sudden my team don't do so well. And I'm thinking, it's her fault. Why did you get up? You messed up the whole mojo thing here, right? I've come to learn that has nothing to do with the outcome of the game. And I'm finding that there's a lot of folks today who are living life, and man, you're trying to jump through the hoops. You're trying to do a balancing act. And you're thinking that you have something to do with the outcome. Jesus Christ has already settled it, friend. Your salvation is firm in Christ Jesus. And there's absolutely nothing you can do to mess that up. Just simply trust Him. Amen? This armor that God puts on us, or that He provides for us. He says to put on, notice what He says, the full armor. Put on the full armor. Some of you may this morning, you may be thinking, oh yeah, that helmet of salvation, I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. But then during the week, you're like, man, this is happening and I don't know what to do, and your faith gets weak. You need to put up the shield of faith, right? Maybe your helmet is strong and it's in place, but maybe the shield of faith is not where it's supposed to be. Maybe the belt of truth has gotten loosened up and you've started believing some lies from the devil. You see, the Bible says we're to put on the full armor of God. There can't be a weak place. We need to have all of it on. We need to be fully armed for the attacks of Satan. The British Admiral, Lord Beatty, back in World War I, he commanded a flotilla at the Battle of Jutland. And during that battle, after several ships had been hit and sunk, Lord Beatty turned to his bridge officer and he said, there seems to be something wrong with our ships today, Chatfield. And in fact, there was something wrong with their ships. These were steel plated ships. They were to be protected. But there was a weakness about those ships. And the weakness was on the deck. The deck was made out of wood. And so when the enemy shot artillery at them and it came in from above, it would hit those wooden decks and go down into the ship and explode and just dismantle the whole ship. They realized this weakness and they came back and they reinforced those decks with steel plates. And soon they weren't losing as many ships. And the tide was turned and they were able to win the battles, win the war. And what I'm trying to get you to understand this morning is that the devil's looking for a weak spot in your armor. And when the devil finds a weak spot in your armor, that's where he will attack. That's why it's important. That's why it's critically important to your spiritual survival this morning that you put on the whole armor of God. Amen? Let's win. Let's survive. Let's put our armor on. Amen? Let's take it up this morning. Would you bow with me today? With our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, here I am. God, I stand this morning in your army. And God, I stand this morning in inspection. God, you're going to look me over from head to toe. God, you're going to examine me. Do I have my armor on? Is it all in its right place? Is it all fitted? Am I secure? Am I ready for battle? And God, as you examine me, God, you point out to me, soldier, this piece of your armor is missing. Soldier, this piece of your armor is misplaced. Soldier, this piece of your armor is not properly secured. And so God's giving you opportunity this morning to be rightfully armored for this battle. As God examines you this morning, would you allow God to point out to you those pieces of armor that you need to be made strong in? Father God, this morning we love you. God, this morning we thank you. The God that just as Jesus prayed, God, I pray that you not take them out of the world. But Father, I pray that you'd protect them from the world. God, I pray that I thank you, Father, this morning that you have given us spiritual protection. This armor of God. And Father, I pray this morning, God, that you would examine us. And I pray, Father, that you would find us fit and ready and properly armed for battle. And so, God, today I pray. God, maybe there's those in this place today. God, they've put on a belt of confusion. God, it's been distorted, the truth. God, they've bought into the lies of Satan. God, I pray this morning that God, the belt of truth, God will secure them. God, for every piece of armor this morning, I pray, God, that we be rightly fitted with it. And so, Father, this morning, we love you, we praise you, we worship and adore you. We ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This morning we're going to sing what we call a hymn of invitation. This is your opportunity to respond. Maybe you want to just come to the altar this morning. Maybe there's that piece, that chink in your armor that needs to be strengthened, needs to be rightly fitted. You come this morning, allow God to do that work in your life. Maybe this morning you've never come to that point and place where you've just simply trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want you to know this morning there's a God who loves you, a God who's already defeated the enemy for you. If you'll just simply trust Him, would you come this morning? As we stand and as we sing, you come today.
As the deer water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Praise God this morning. We can walk out in battle, but we can know that we walk out protected. Amen? We can walk out fully protected. And so I praise God for you. Hey, thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for being a part of our worship time this morning. Those that have been watching, those that have been listening online and on the radio, thank you for tuning in with us today as well. Hey, we've got a couple of opportunities that are going to be coming up to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Yesterday, we had some teams that went out and just made some visit with some folks and doing some things there. And so we've got in the next few weeks other events that are going to be taking place. We're going to be taking care of Billy and Sandy. Y'all raise your hands back here. Look back there in the back. Billy and Sandy lead our mission teams here. And so they've got several things planned for us in the upcoming weeks. And so we'll be putting out some information on that and letting you know. And so be plugged in, be ready to serve in those areas as well. Okay? All right. Have I missed anything? Anything I need? Yes. Small groups, reminders. Small groups. We started small groups last Sunday evening. And so tonight, 5:00, right here, if you're looking for a small group to be in, we have three here on campus. And so come and be a part of that. One is on the prayer of Daniel. One is on all the places we go, just how we live life and how we can share the gospel with other people. And then if you're not ready to do that, we've got one called Lost Cause. That is that evangelism is not a lost cause. Hey, there's people that's still out there that need to hear the gospel. If you're not comfortable in sharing your faith, come be a part of that class as well. Neil teaches it. And you can grow in your skills to share Christ as well. So, good stuff. Anything else? All right. Speak now, forever hold your peace. Okay? All right. You got it, Jack?
I got it.
Hey, man, you know what? For some folks that were struggling vocally and all those kind of things, I couldn't tell this morning. So great job of worship this morning. Amen. Don't they do a great job? Don't they do a great job? Give them a round. What are we going to sing this morning?
Hey, oldie but a goodie. I'll fly away.
Hey, now this isn't just going away song. We're still worshiping, right?
That's right.
We're still worshiping. So let's worship this morning.
All right, let's sing. I'll fly away.
Some glad morning when this life is over,
last week.